Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad our new friend Chris Orestes is here, ladies and gentlemen. Chris is a nationally known senior healthcare advocate and expert. He is the CEO of Life Care Funding, and he's here to talk to us about some things that you and I need to know as we look into taking care of our elderly parents. Chris Orestes, welcome to the show.
Jim, thank you very much. It's really a pleasure to be here. And it's a topic that I always look for opportunities to speak about.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for joining us. Because, you know, there's something like almost 80 million, like 70, 78 or so million baby boomers who have parents who were in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. Some baby boomers are getting on up there. I'm not going to point any particular fingers at anybody, but some baby boomers are getting on up there and they're having their issues. So there are a lot of children who either have been or are now or will be faced with taking care of their aging parents, their elderly parents. And one of the challenges that we have these days, Chris, is that oftentimes we don't live near our parents. How do we deal with when we show up for a visit and things have changed? It can be really frustrating to try to take care of them and not have any kind of as much regular access. What do you think?
Oh, no, you're absolutely right about that, Jim. You know, we're talking to seniors and families every day about their questions regarding long-term care, how to pay for it. And this time of year in particular, you know, we're just really only 3 weeks past the New Year's and Christmas and all that, and our phone has been ringing off the hook because families got back together again that hadn't seen each other in a while, and all of a sudden they started to notice that just in a few short months since the last time they had seen their mother or their father, things had changed. And what we tell families is look for some of the clues, because there's clues, and they're pretty common. You know, things like memory, things like health, and things like physical signs of, like, the condition of the home. You want to look for, when you're sitting there having dinner, is your mother or father, you know, calling everybody by the wrong names, confusing dates, thinking that something that happened 30 years ago is something that's happening today? Or from a health standpoint, when they get up from the dinner table, are they having a much more difficult time, not just getting up, but with balance? You know, those start to be some of the physical manifestations.
There are other examples, Chris, that can even be more difficult, because I've witnessed this in my own family, elderly members of my family, you know, different relations, where there's an onset of dementia. But it doesn't manifest in forgetfulness. It doesn't manifest as any physical problems. It manifests as them being different about things, being obsessed with something, or being illogical about something, or being difficult about something. And what I now know, looking back, is that was the early manifestation of what became dementia. And so we thought, The extended families for these folks thought, because I have more than one example, Chris, the extended family thought that this person was just being difficult. And the truth is, I call it, it's my non-clinical term, but here's the term I came up with, Chris. I call it partitioned dementia, meaning if you have 20 parts of your life, you're really good at 19, but one of them you're starting to slip on, and then it migrates. What do you think?
Well, again, it's those clues, right? And that's a clue. And what we tell families is don't ignore the clues.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Something's wrong. There's an old saying, where there's a hint of doubt, there is no doubt. And when you see those clues, don't blow them off. Don't just dismiss them to be quote unquote senior moments.
And let me let me tell you one other thing in here, Chris. Here's something I've seen with other families. The parent misbehaves because of this partition dementia, I'm calling it, and it makes one of the siblings mad because they just don't like the way their behaviors. And they literally write the parent off. They get mad at them and go away. And the truth is, what the person wasn't doing it to you. It was their condition. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. That's not a time to get mad and make it about yourself. It's a time to pick up on that clue. And if you have siblings, and most people do, not only siblings but then spouses as well. What we encourage families to do is to get on the same game plan. You know, you need to before. Somebody at the dinner table just blurts out either, you know, you're acting crazy, Mom, and gets up and walk away, or somebody blurts out, Mom's not looking so good, maybe it's time to move her into a nursing home.
Yeah.
The kids need to sit down, and when we're talking about kids, we're talking about adult children. We're talking about people
right.
in their 40s, their 50s, and
60s,
even their 60s.
Right.
I mean, just as an aside, you mentioned the baby boomers. 10,000 baby boomers a day are turning 65 in this country. So...
Yeah.
They're starting to confront their own senior years while having to look at their parents and look for these issues. And what we tell the families are, get on the same page, figure out a game plan, talk with each other before you start to blurt out and run down the road of some harsh move. You know, it's take it in steps, take it easy, but don't ignore those clues. And don't just get up and walk away from it and pretend it's not there and think things are going to go away. Because once it starts going in that direction, it keeps going in that direction.
But it goes in that direction, but it also morphs. That's the main thing I want to point out to people is what an illogical behavior today may be illogical about something else a year from now. But you've got so many issues. You've got power of attorney. You've got the financial part, keeping up with the financial part. I have a friend whose mother was giving thousands of dollars a year to all these charities, and they found her. They put her on a list. Every time somebody would ask her for money, she'd write them a big check. She had to figure out how to get control of that. She was giving all her money away to organizations that didn't deserve it.
Well, that's right. That's part of what we say about getting on the same page and having a team plan. One of those things you need to talk about is, should somebody be the power of attorney? Should somebody be the point person who maybe is living closest to their parent
and all
or
I'm,
looking at facilities, meeting
all I'm
with
gonna
care
say,
providers?
Folks, is good luck, because this is tough. This is one of the dealing with these situations is going to be one of the toughest situations you'll ever have in your life. We're going to come back with some solutions with our new friend Chris Aristis after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.